choosing love. Do you know that God loves you? That He has a special plan for your life? Through His Word and by His Spirit, this program seeks to expand and deepen your understanding of God's amazing love for you. Now, here's your friend and God's handmaiden, Mary Winchell.
Good evening. The question tonight is, how is your vision? There are many different problems that we can have. With our eyes, we can be farsighted, nearsighted. We can be colorblind. We can have cataracts. Many different problems. Reading from the Word of God, from Isaiah, 42nd chapter, starting at the 18th verse. Oh, how blind and deaf you are towards God. Why don't you listen? Why won't you see? Who in all the world is as blind as my own people who are designed to be my messengers of truth? Who is so blind as my dedicated ones? The servant of the Lord, you see, and understand what is right, but won't heed, nor do it. You hear, but you will not listen. The Lord has magnified His law and made it truly glorious. Through it, He has planned to show the world that He is righteous. But what a sight His people are! These who are to demonstrate to all the world the glory of the law, for they are robbed, enslaved, imprisoned, trapped, fair game for all, with no one to protect them. God's people not being able to see properly. The Word tells us to take the log out of our own eye before we try to take the splinter out of someone else's. And that makes so much sense. The blind helping the blind will both fall into the pit. If I have an area of my life and I have not had victory in it, who am I to critique your problem? Oh God, open up our eyes to see, the eyes of our understanding, the eyes of our heart. We become so blinded by what we think and what our experiences are in our own sinfulness. It is very hard to help others, and yet the Lord calls us to bind up the brokenhearted, to set the captive free, and open the eyes of those that are blind. But first, oh God, open our eyes that we might see. There is spiritual blindness as well as there is natural blindness, and that's what we're going to be speaking about. To see, we need light. Our eye is made like a camera. Reading from the first epistle of John, there's so much in there about God being light, love, and life. And in Him there is no darkness. And when we confess our sins before God and allow the light of the living God to flood over our souls and wash away sin and guilt, we are in the light. So reading from the first epistle of John, second chapter, 9th verse. The one who says he is in the light and yet hates his brother is in the darkness until now. The one who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But the one who hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Resentment, hatred, and unforgiveness. And sometimes we're not even in touch with the depth of our feelings. We're really in denial. We're offended. We're hurt. And yet we keep right on going like nothing has happened. And we need to stop and take short account of ourselves daily, moment by moment, when an occasion arises when we feel betrayed, used. And sometimes we're even angry with ourselves or angry with God. And the Word tells us it blinds us. You've heard the term blind rage. Seeing red. There's no sanity. Completely losing it. Sometimes we've been brought up in homes where anger was just like having breakfast in the morning. Everyone was irritated and angry and yelled at each other and then seemed to leave and went on with their lives. can be learned behavior. Or many times we can have a very quiet disposition and our anger does not come out in yelling and screaming, but we're still very angry. And that's even harder to diagnose. We've even fooled ourselves. But many times it will come out in a disappointment, dealing with a person, a service person, and you find yourself raging, being angry with a child, being angry with someone who cannot retaliate because of the circumstances, because of youth, because of embarrassment, and will let go of this emotion that we have not dealt with properly. We have not dealt with our sin. We have not come face to face with how we really feel. We have not dealt with our humanity. And God is calling us to a higher place. And God is love. And He's called us to walk in love and walk in the light. So Father, reveal the dark areas. Reveal the anger, the resentment that we have within us, that we truly might be children of the light. Do you really want to see? I want to see. Do you suffer from night blindness? When illumination is dim, you're not able to make out even shadows, and it's not advisable to drive in a situation like that. Spiritual and emotional night blindness to me would be depression, a heaviness, where there is no joy. It's like a dark cloud that seems to hang over your head. Have you ever experienced that? When we haven't dealt with our unforgiveness and our sin nature and guilt, it's very easy to slip into depression and encouragement. When life is dark and it seems to be without hope, think about who you're angry with. Think about who you need to forgive, whether it's yourself or others, any unconfessed sin. And then allow the bright morning star to rise in your heart. Think of Jesus. Think about His love for you. Think about who He is and where He is. My husband has a great sense of direction. And many times in driving different places, he looks up to the heavens, loves to look at the stars, has studied astronomy, and looks for the North Star so that he can take his direction from there. But there have been nights traveling, camping, where there were no stars. There was no moon. And we could have really used a compass. When you're going through a dark time, and there are no stars, and there is no moon, there is a king who resides on the signs of the north. Reading from Psalm 48, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, His holy mountain, beautiful in elevation, the joy of the whole earth, is Mount Zion in the side of the north, the city of the great king. We look to Him, the author and finisher of our faith. We keep our eyes upon Jesus when going through the dark night of the soul. When your emotions feel flat, you've confessed your sin, and you still don't feel a breakthrough. Those are the times we walk in faith, believing that God is with us, putting one foot in front of the other. Not losing our faith, but looking to the bright morning star.
Here I stand before you, on my knees. So Jesus, help me, please. I wanna be just like you, and I will, 'cause it's your will, and I can't. I can't do anything because of what you've done for me. So I'll praise you till the mountains reach the sky, till the rivers all run dry, because of what you've done for me. Jesus,
to stay focused on Him and let the bright morning star be our compass to lead us safely home. And as we praise Him and give Him thanksgiving for who He is, and as we do that, the heaviness seems to depart and we can see oh so much more clearly. There's a problem that sometimes arises later in our life to our eyes, where the lens of our eye becomes rigid, loses its ability to change shape, and cannot focus. I see this as our inability to change. Not that we cannot change, but that we don't want to change. And the Word of God is always encouraging us to change, and the Holy Spirit is calling us to that better place, to change our attitudes, our ways, the way we speak. The desire to change, the desire to allow the Holy Spirit to work in us, to will and to do for His good pleasure. Some people suffer from farsightedness, difficulty in focusing on near objects. They're always worried about tomorrow, 5-year plans, 10-year plans, but not really dealing with the issues of today. And then sometimes we're nearsighted. We're so caught up in the emergency of the moment, we make no plans for tomorrow. The Word calls us to be anxious for nothing, but in all things through prayer and supplication. Let our requests be known to God, and the peace that passes all understanding shall be ours in Christ Jesus. That His grace is sufficient for the day. But His Word also tells us, without a vision, my people perish. So we have to have a vision. We have to have a dream. And we have to work towards those goals that God implanted within us. If you feel a desire and you want to be a nurse, you work towards that goal. We have to put footsteps to our dreams and desire those dreams at the same time to deal with the issues that we have every day. One of my sons was in the Peace Corps. That's an organization funded by the U.S. government to go into countries and into territories that are very poor, into poverty, difficult situations, and try to help them to live a better life. And he was sent to the Solomon Islands, into the part of the country where sanitary conditions were very poor. The people would bathe in one part of this lake and use it for other purposes, unsanitary purposes, and also drink from the same water. And so the Peace Corps volunteers tried to show the people a better way by installing a certain type of plumbing that they felt would purify this water. The natives really resisted and said, "No, that's what you do. This is the way we do it." And they still are suffering from trachoma, the inability to change, to demand our way. Oh, that we would be yielded to the Holy Spirit, that our ways would be His ways, for there is much pain when we insist upon doing our thing. His Word tells us that my people suffer from lack of knowledge. And His knowledge is in His Word. And by His Spirit, that knowledge is illuminated to us. And it brings us into freedom. For where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And Jesus, He came to set the captives free, and that by His stripes we have been healed. And He desires to open up the eyes of the blind. So if you're blind tonight, let's ask the physician to touch us, to set us free that we might go forth and open up the eyes of others who are blind and fulfill the Great Commission. For that's really what it's about. God's love coming down from heaven, touching us, changing us. And that out of our belly will flow rivers of living water by the power of the Holy Spirit. Clean, effervescent water. Pure water that will not contaminate others, but bring healing to them, bring deliverance to them. Reading from Isaiah the 6th chapter. In the year of King Uzziah's death, I saw the Lord sitting on the throne, lofty and exalted, with the train of His robe filling the temple. Seraphim stood above Him, each having 6 wings. With 2 He covered His face, and with 2 He covered His feet, and with 2 He flew. And one called out one to another and said, "Holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory." And the foundations of the thresholds trembled at the voice of Him who called out, while the temple was filled with smoke. And then I said, "Woe is me, for I am ruined, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a burning coal in his hand, which he had taken from the altar with tongs, and he touched my mouth with it, and he said, "Behold, this has touched your lips, and your iniquity is taken away, and your sin is forgiven. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send? Who will go for us? And then I said, Here am I. Send me. Open my eyes, O Lord, that I might see you high and lifted up, and your train filling the temple. Send me. Send me.
Stretch out your hand to heal the sick. Stretch out your arm and set the prisoners free. Thank you.
Resting in Him, trusting in Him, being strengthened by Him, empowered and filled with His glory, filled with His love, and changing the world around us. Reading from 2 Corinthians 3rd chapter, 18th verse. But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit. To be used of God and to allow His healing virtue, that life-changing virtue, from victory to victory. Only God can do it. None of the self-help books or tapes work. We try them for a short period of time and we fall back into our own ways. Have you tried them? But when the Holy Spirit does that work within us, as we yield to Him, something different happens. He's a life changer. The fire of God coming upon us, He makes His servants flames of fire to be filled with the fire of His love. His word tells us He's a consuming fire, a refiner's fire. The fire of God burns up that chaff in our life that needs to go, burns up the dark areas to bring us light so that we can truly see. To see in the Spirit of God, to understand that the darkness be removed. And as the darkness is removed from our eyes and our minds and our hearts, then we can set others free, be used of God in a mighty way, to bind up the brokenhearted, to set at liberty those that are captive, and to preach the good news to the poor. And everyone needs to hear the good news of the gospel. And He's called us to be living epistles so that others can read our lives and read about Jesus. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all had a different experience and yet the same experience, but they all saw it from a different perspective in who they were, in their personalities, in their frame of reference. And so each one of us tells the same story, but a different way. And God can use you in a way that He can't use me, in the who you are, as your eyes are open, as your heart is open, as you allow the light of the living God to flow through you and to brighten the dark areas where you move and you walk and you work. And so others will come to a knowledge of Him, the one that is the light of the world, the one who drives out the darkness. Mary Winchell here. God loves you with an amazing love, and He never changes.
We hope you've enjoyed Mary's message. To listen to more messages of God's amazing love for all mankind, visit her website at amazingloveministries.org.